Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of relationology, the secrets of winning with people. Joining me today by phone is Romel Anakin, who is a motivational speaker, a strategist, an entrepreneur, and president of The Relationship Difference, an organization development firm based in Orange County, California. And Romel regularly consults with multifamily companies across the United States. Welcome, Romel.
Well, hello, Paul. Thank you for having me on the show.
So you're welcome. And I've kind of followed you. I know that we're based out of Houston, Texas, and I know that you've been to Houston, Texas a couple of times and worked with the local apartment association, so I've kind of followed you through that, and I'm excited to talk about today's topic, and I want to just give our listeners a little background on kind of how you framed the topic to me, and the way you did that was you said almost everything you want, need, and desire in your life is tied into your relationships with people around you. Yet effectively communicating, connecting, and engaging with people can be very difficult because we're all so different. And that brings us to the topic of relationology. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. You know, this this particular topic was actually one of the first programs I created back in 2011 when I started my company. And the big reason for it, I was really, really passionate about helping people win with people. And so mostly, honestly, it was just based on me figuring out I had just done so many things wrong in how I related to people and how I connected with people. And so I did the deep dive into, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I, over a career and over some time, was able to figure out the things that worked, the things that didn't. And I coalesced that, put that into a program to share with people. And so the, you know, my big goal in that really is helping people win with people. I do think that if you want to have a great life, you need to have great relationships. But it's hard to have those great relationships, again, as you mentioned, because we are all so different. And so we keep navigating, it's this balancing act between wanting to be authentic, but then I might rub someone the wrong way, so what do? But I feel like this is my personality, and on and on and on and on. And so this program was just my way to try to bridge the gap for people and help them improve the quality of the relationships that they have, whether it's at work or with people, with partners, owners, vendors. You know, so it applies in all parts of our lives.
Well, you know, this is not something that people go necessarily to a place of higher education to take a course in this. This is something that you I'm sure you developed it on your own. Was there something, a life experience for you that caused you to say, wait a minute, there's something here that I need to investigate further?
Yeah. Great point there, Paul, that you really don't. You know, this is not something that, you know, I even remember learning in school or anything like that. But so really what happened for me, and the irony of it, is going through a divorce many years ago. So about 16 years ago now. And the divorce wasn't of my choosing. It really took me by surprise when that all happened. And so in the aftermath of that, you know, I think one of the things that that I did was to say, well, what do I have to do in the future to try to avoid the past repeating itself? And so I read every book on relationships and communication and engagement and personalities and everything, just to try to get more understanding and figure out where things went wrong, especially from my end. And I discovered I did a lot of things wrong. And there were so many times I'd be reading a book and just say, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. Oh, that apparently that's a bad thing. And, you know, and all of that. So, but then what happened is the more that I learned and about relationships, communication, engagement, people skills, the more that I actually got passionate about sharing what I learned with others. And I knew that that was something that I would want to do eventually over time. You know, so that's really what happened. I mean, so I make a living today, you know, helping people win with people because of what happened to me 16 years ago, where my shortcomings in this area, really affected me.
So is this topic something that you deliver in talks and consult with multifamily companies about?
Indeed, yeah. So it's, whatever format, oftentimes. So what's great about this talk is, and how I actually specifically constructed it is, we can do, I've done 30-minute keynotes on this, an hour keynotes. We've done three-hour, deep dives. I've included this as part of, say, even a six-hour talk, and often we'll pair this, for example, let's say I'm working with leadership teams or management teams, but this talk works with any organization. I've spoken across multiple different industries, organizations, and groupings with it. So it's, we can do the quick, hey, let's just get you thinking about this too. Let's really give you some nuts and bolts and things that people can run away with. Either way, I think it's, whether we get people just aware of how they relate to people or we give people even more tools, I think any of those situations are a win.
Well, we've got a little bit under 5 minutes left in this segment, so I want to kind of jump into it and tell us about the section about our core desires.
Yeah. So, what I've discovered, really over time is that people are driven by two main desires. And that first desire we have is connection. I mean, connection is the fuel that brings all of us together. And so when I say connection, we can describe it many different ways, but it usually sounds something like, I feel loved, I feel valued, I feel cared for. I feel like people see me. I feel like I'm noticed. I feel like I belong. I feel important. I feel like I'm a big deal. So those are the things that drive us in terms of the connection. And so we're all looking for that. And so every single person we interact with is looking for that connection. And that can be the barista that someone went to on their way to work, or the resident that walks into the office who is mad about something. What they're looking for is connection. What they're looking for is for someone to go, yeah, I care about you, or I care enough about you to pay attention. I care enough about you to look up from my computer and make eye contact instead of hoping my coworker, looks up because I'm just fried right now. We've got so many things going on. So we are all driven by the need for connection. So all of the things that we do, even from like the clothes you wear to the cars you drive to the friends we have to the friends we don't have, relationships we're in, they're all driven by that need to feel important, to feel like we belong, to feel that we're loved and cared for, which sounds simple enough. But there is a second desire as well. And it's related, but it is different. And it's the need and the desire to avoid feeling disconnection. And so not only do we want to feel important, we don't want to feel unimportant, right? We don't want to feel that we don't belong. And so life is this balance for us of so where do we feel connection what are the things that we do that help us feel connection? And then how do we avoid that embarrassment? How do we avoid feeling stupid? How do we avoid feeling that we are out of place or that we don't belong? And so almost everything we do, if you really look at it, is done through that filter of, I'm going to do this thing because this helps me feel connected. I'm going to avoid this thing. I'm going to avoid those people. I'm going to avoid this conversation. I'm going to avoid this conflict because I don't want to feel disconnected. And so then we're always trying to navigate between these two. And so what I would tell the listeners, anyone who's listening here, is, again, every single person you meet, and this includes you, when they look to you, when they're interacting with you, what they are hoping for is that connection. What they're hoping for is that you help them feel cared for and valued and seen. What they don't want from you is that you ignore them or that you make them feel like they're not important or you make them feel like they're not a big deal. And so when you make them feel important, you fill their tank. Those things are great. When they feel unimportant, when they feel devalued, when they feel dissed or whatever, you know, verb you want to use, that's when the problems happen. And I think, you know, as you know, Paul, we're seeing this so much now, even just on social media, and you referenced this, you know, coming into the show, that there's just so much going on right now. And I'm watching my friends just killing each other on social media over our different opinions and our different things. And really what's at work is someone shares an opinion, someone else doesn't like the opinion, so they say something negative about it. And then the person who did the original comment feels that disconnection, so they fight back. The other person feels in a disconnection, they fight back. And the cycle just continues. And if we can all just understand that we're all looking for the same thing. We all want connection. We all want to avoid disconnection. And then life is our journey on how do we help people feel connected while avoiding or while reducing the amount of times that we make people feel disconnected.
All right. Well, we're up against a break. We are going to have to take a short break. We are going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of relationology, the secrets of winning with people. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Romel Anakin, who is a motivational speaker, a strategist, an entrepreneur, and the president of The Relationship Difference, an organizational development firm based in Orange County, California. And Romel regularly consults with multifamily companies across the United States. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Romel, you know, we're talking in the last segment about the different ways that if someone comes up to you and that they want to have that connection, they don't want to feel disconnected, they want to be validated and so forth. And I was picturing in my mind while you were talking that, because I know you consult in the high levels of multifamily, of the multifamily industry, but you know, the frontline person at the property, the property manager, could really learn from all of this as well. Do you ever get a chance to talk to them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of my programs, deal directly with the on-site. And what's really great about it, because of my experience in the industry, I actually worked on-site. I was a leasing consultant. I was an assistant manager. I was a community manager. I actually ended up being a customer care manager for a large company in Southern California, which taught me so much about all of this. Actually, it's actually what was one of the catalysts for for me, combining what I'd learned relationally, as I talked about after my divorce, and as I moved on in this industry, I realized that these things that I learned that would help me in my marriage would actually help me dealing with this resident who was mad at me because Amazon didn't deliver their package, you know, or something, or you resident with a complaint. So absolutely, it's a lot of my audiences are the, you know, people who are on site on the front lines dealing with people, having to work with teams, because, you know, it's not just winning with the residents, or it's also winning with each other, you know, because everyone's in an office for 8 hours, you know, and then you throw on the stresses of working in multifamily, and it's been such a rewarding industry for me, but it's also challenging emotionally and relationally, just because it's a stressful industry. So this would definitely, you know, any of these principles here would help anyone in any part of their life, but absolutely someone on site, someone working with people on a day-to-day basis, hugely helpful for them.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about why we are the way we are.
Sure. I love that. You know, so what I've discovered over time is we all have a way, you know, and we have a way of seeing things and doing things. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. Some people love people. Some people kind of want their distance. You know, and so what, you know, when I talked about the need for connection and disconnection, right, when we put that together in our life, that creates our kind of our way. And the problem that we run into is that we all think that our way is the right way. You know, so again, when someone's super loud and you might look at that person and wonder, what is wrong with that person? Why is that person so, you know, blank, 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 blank? And what I discovered is we use the same vocabulary. So we all want connection. We all want to avoid disconnection, but we define those differently. And this is why relationships can be so tough. It's why that communication can be so tough. And so there are many ways, and I think a lot of your listeners, you know, probably done one of these. You know, maybe you've done Myers-Briggs and you're a INTJ or an ENTP, or maybe you've done DISC, you know, with D-I-S-C, which I think is great. Enneagram is another one that's coming out where people have a number from 1 to 9. And I think all of these are great. If you've ever done any of those programs, you'll were like, I'm a blue triangle or something, or an orange circle. I think those are great. And so any of those, I think, will provide you with an overview and a better understanding of yourself and understanding of others. There is one model that I like, that I use with relationology, because it's simple to understand, and I think most of us can get grouped into these. So again, if you've done an Enneagram, a Myers-Briggs, or DISC, hey, I would encourage you, go back, read the reports, do the deep dive, maybe get a sense for what the people around you are. But I think I would also encourage everyone listening to think of these styles that I'm about to talk about too, because you know, some of the ways that we look at are this, and there was a psychotherapist named Karen Horney who talked about that there are really three main categories of people, and most people fall into one of these categories. And so, you know, that we have a dominant style. Now, we all go back and forth between these categories or these languages or these ways, but most of us have one that we tend to go to, and maybe a secondary. You know, so for example, Paul, you know, there's some folks that I love to call the hammer, and hammers are folks that just take control, right? They take charge. If we were having a meeting, for example, and let's say you and I were in charge of the meeting, the hammers in the meeting would immediately take control of the meeting and set the agenda of the meeting, even if they weren't supposed to be in control of the meeting. And so they go, they're charging the hill. And all of a sudden, if you and I are not hammers leading this meeting, that meeting's going to go in a completely different direction, because the hammers are taking control. Now, they are dominating the conversation. They are, I like to say that their motto is, you know, we've heard the phrase, lead, follow, or get out of the way. They'd be much more likely just to tell you, get out of the way. I got this. Yeah, so you have to, you know, I mean, just, I got it. I'll send you the email. I'll tell you what you need to do. And what's great about all these styles is there's some really great positives with it. You know, what I love about the hammer is that they get stuff done. When I was leading teams, if I had a difficult conversation or a difficult situation, a difficult negotiation, I'd look at where the hammer, like, you know, I'd send the hammer to go do that. But of course, the negative of the hammer is that other people can feel bulldozed or run over or belittled. And so you have that, you know, negative component of that. So you have the hammer. You have what I call the second language, or the second way is called the pleaser. And these are people that, you know, they're happiest when other people are happy. So they are peacemakers and peacekeepers. They are, they're constantly trying to, they take the temperature of the people around them, and their goal is to keep everyone happy. So in that meeting analogy I talked about, Paul, you know, the hammers would be hijacking the meeting, and the pleasers are apoplectic at what has just happened because they feel the pain of you and I who have just lost control of the meeting. They're hearing the hammers arguing with each other, so now they're really freaking out because pleasers would never talk to each other the way that hammers do. And then the pleasers are also going around the meeting going, hey, did y'all get the donuts? Are you okay? Is the room too cold for you? Are you feeling okay? And so they're trying to keep the peace, and the hammers are just getting irritated at these people that are jumping in. You know, so you have these folks, and what I love about the pleasers is these are some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. The world could use more peacekeepers today and peacemakers. You know, now the negative side of the pleaser can be that because they don't want to disappoint, they often don't give you the full story, so they might miss deadlines or overpromise and underdeliver because they don't want to say no, or they don't want to say they can't make that deadline. And so, or you don't get their full truth or their full story, again, because they're afraid to say, ah, I need to disappoint you, or I can't do that, which could create a lot of tension in the workplace. If you're waiting for someone to get you that marketing report on Monday morning, and your pleaser assistant manager says, I'm so sorry, I should have told you, but I can't do it. You know, so you have the pleaser, which is great and also has some negative to it as well, like they all do. And then the last way that we have are people who are avoiders. And the avoider, what I like to say with them is that they just tend to keep their distance. It might be a physical distance, it might be a relational distance, it might be an emotional distance, but there's a distance. And this might be classically what we would call an introvert, although it doesn't necessarily mean that all avoiders are introverts. But again, it just, you know, the hammers, they're engaging people. It might be brutal, but they're engaging people. The pleasers, they're engaging people as well. The avoiders, they tend to keep their distance. So in the meeting analogy, you know, again, same thing. So the hammers are taking over the meeting. The pleasers are trying to keep everybody happy. And the avoiders are either sitting in the corner, you know, not saying a whole lot. Now, they've got thoughts. They have their ideas of what they want to share, but what they're waiting for is for someone to call them. And the hammers aren't calling them because the hammers are taking control of the meeting. The pleasers are trying to keep everyone happy. And the avoiders are sitting there eating their donuts wondering, I've got solutions. You know, will someone call me? But they might be afraid to raise up their hand because they're feeling within themselves it's not safe yet. And so avoiders will engage when they feel safe. So even, let's say, when they're walking into the meeting room, if there were already some tables with people on it, the avoider might be just much more likely to go sit at a table where there was no one because it's safer to sit at that table than to sit at the table with people you might not know. Or the hammer is just going to sit wherever. They're not even asking whoever's sitting at the table where they can sit. You know. So what I love about avoiders is that, number one, they don't dominate the conversations, right? And so they're very self-sufficient. They're independent. That's what I love about them. They're also very aware of what's going on around them. But if you're listening and the avoider sounds like you, one of the dangers of that is that people feel that distance from you. And they interpret that as you don't care, or you don't want to get to know them better, or you don't trust them enough to let them in to whatever space that is that you're not letting them into. Or just, you know, someone sees you sit at the empty table and their brain goes, you must not be a team player, or you must not like us because you're sitting at the empty table. Where if you're an avoider, you might be thinking, actually, I would have loved to sit at a table with people. I just didn't want to intrude. So you have these three styles. Right? You have a hammer, you have the pleaser, you have the avoider. And these are all our ways, Paul, of trying to feel connection and avoid disconnection. And so, you know, just over time with genetics and our experiences, we've developed these different ways to relate to people, to interact with people and how we interpret the world. And there's so much good with all of them. And there's also things that can go wrong with all of them. And that's what tends to cause the problems, a lot of the problems that we have today.
All right. Well, fascinating topic. We are going to be back with more on this after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry.
emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of relationology, the secret of winning with people. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Romel Anakin, who is a motivational speaker. He's a strategist, entrepreneur, and he's the president of The Relationship Difference, an organizational development firm based in Orange County, California. And Romel regularly consults with multifamily companies across the United States. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Romel, we were talking about the three relationship languages, and I know that during the break you were talking about there's two distinct communication styles. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. So, in addition to those relational languages that we have that, again, color how we view things, that color how we communicate or how we do things, there are two communication styles, and so this really helped me too. And this is when I really understood this and learned about this, because again, as I started to meet with people, as I was meeting with clients or residents or vendors, and as I moved up in the corporate structure, executives and stuff, it was just so helpful to really understand, that's what this person's doing. So the first communication style is what I call the direct communicator. And super simple, direct communicators say what they mean, and they mean what they say. So if you want to know what a direct communicator is trying to communicate to you, just listen to the words. Very, very simple. I like to say that in a lot of ways, if you know Lucy Van Pelt in the Peanuts comic strip, Lucy is definitely a direct communicator. There is no doubt whatsoever in terms of what she is thinking and what she is feeling. So you have the direct communicators. Their words are their words. They say what they mean. They mean what they say. But in direct contrast to that are the indirect communicators. And these are people that their words have nothing to do with what they're trying to communicate to you. But they're actually trying to communicate to you through their body language, their facial expressions, through the things that are not said. And so this can create a lot of tension. And I will say for me that my default tends to be more of an indirect communicator. And so when I looked at the history of my life, I realized that I wasn't very good, and I'm still really working at it, on actually directly asking for what I want. You know, so instead of saying, I'm hungry, would you like to go to lunch with me? I might just say something like, boy, it would be great to go get lunch. and then hope that the people around me pick up the cues and go, oh, well, are you hungry? Would you like to go to lunch? You know, so you have these people who they say what they mean what they say, and you have the indirect communicators whose words have nothing to do with what they say or what they're trying to communicate with you. And so to understand them, you've got to look at their body language, their facial expression, what they are doing or what they are not doing. You know, so again, all of these things just create that tension, because if you listening are more of a direct communicator, well, when someone says, yeah, okay, sure, I can get that report in for you by Friday at 5 p.m., you hear yes, and you move on with your day. But that indirect communicator was trying to tell you, I can't do it, danger, danger, you know. And that creates the problems and the tension. So it's very important that I think we're aware of the people around us, and also aware for us, like, which one are we? You know, am I a hammer and a direct communicator? You know, am I an avoider and an indirect communicator? You know, which one do I tend to go to most often? And that's one thing. Sometimes people get tripped up with this, Paul, because they go, well, I go back and forth between the different styles. And that's actually what you want to do. Healthy relating means there's times you've got to hammer. There's times you've got to avoid. There's times that you want to people please and allow other people to win, and you can take the step back. There is a time and place to be blunt with your words. And there's also a time to, you know, kind of tiptoe through the tulips. And so healthy relating, healthy communicating is being aware enough to know which language to speak in a certain situation. So if you've got a couple different ones going on, that's good. You know, that's not a bad thing. But you do want to become aware of which one do you tend to go to more often than not. And if you're not sure, ask your spouse. You know, ask your best friend. Ask your coworkers. They'll tell you. You know, they'll tell you which one you are. Yeah, so that's important to know. So it's important to know the relational languages. It's very important to know the communication style so that you can have your plan for winning with people, whoever the people are in your life that you are interacting with on a daily basis.
So I guess my question is that a lot of what you were talking about is that self-assessment, is that trying to decide what type of person you are, and also, you know, what of the is the communication style that I have. The question then becomes, is if you have a team, like if you're on an on-site team at a property, a multifamily property, is there an exercise to go through, or do you recommend exercises for people to be able to identify each member of the team, what their relationship language is and what their communication styles are, so that they can you can then figure out a way to for everybody to interact and communicate better?
Yeah, that's so good. You know, what I recommend whenever I do any of these sessions is just for people, number one, as you mentioned, Paul, to do that self-assessment. Just be aware, you know, what is my effect on other people? And if you're not sure, think of it this way. If someone were stuck in a car with me for 8 hours, what would my impact on them be? You know, would they want that car trip to keep going, or are they, you know, they want their car trip to end after 10 minutes because they're done? So you have to have that self-awareness, as you were saying, Paul. And then what I think is really helpful is that people that you just take, you know, for you, you're listening, you just look at Joe sitting across from you. You know, does Joe tend to hammer people? Does he tend to please? Does he tend to avoid? That you can actually kind of do an assessment internally and give a sense for what that might be. And so that gives you a framework to start to work with. Now, obviously, you don't want to go to your coworker and go, hey, I think you're a hammer. I think you're a people pleaser. That may not go real well.
Right.
But certainly having that part of the interpretive grid, I do have, you know, obviously I've got on my website, I've got a recorded version of this talk if people wanted to listen to the talk and kind of have their teams listen to it and maybe do some self-evaluation. But I think just one of the most helpful ways is really just kind of thinking where you are and looking at the people around you and going, huh, I think Michelle might be an avoider. And so here's some ways that I can help her feel connected without alienating her and vice versa.
And ultimately, what type of feedback do you get from people who have gone through that exercise as far as what they've been able to accomplish, to understand themselves, to understand their coworkers better? What type of feedback have you been getting?
I love that question, Paul. First of all, laughter is usually when we do that exercise, you know, in the meeting space, there's usually a lot of laughter. Usually the hammers will point to other people and say, hey, I bet you're a pleaser. I bet you're an avoider. And the pleasers are freaked out that everyone's pointing them out. But honestly, you know, the big thing that I really want is just that level of self-awareness, is that question. When I ask people that question, what is your impact on other people? That's the big question. In fact, for all your listeners right now, that's the big takeaway question I would love for you to really come away with from this time, is like, what is my impact on other people? And once people realize they have an impact, and then they realize what that impact is, and then they use this framework of, I'm a hammer, so maybe I need to back off a little bit in these situations, or I tend to people please, so I might need to work on being more assertive, or I'm an avoider, so when I walk into that room full of people I don't know, I might need to go to that table filled with people and just assert, like, you know, work on asserting myself there. So what I find with people is that the light bulb turns on, the self-awareness turns on. I've had people come up to me. Funny story, I remember doing a talk in Northern California. Someone came up to me and said, oh my gosh, this is why my wife is like this. And we started laughing, and it was like the light bulb went on when he realized that what he thought was, you know, this ultra negative thing was really just this understanding and acceptance that he and his wife are different. And now he has some tools to be able to bridge those differences instead of just getting entrenched, I think, like we all can do, and go, well, no, this is the way, this is my way, this is the only way, and anyone who doesn't do it my way, well, y'all are wrong, you know. And so that's actually the self-awareness that opens up, and then people taking the journey of saying, okay, so how do I offer a better quality of relationship to the people around me? And again, it can be spouses, family, coworkers, residents for those in multifamily, partners, vendors, owners, all of those things. But that's fun to see when you see that happening, when you see the light bulbs turning on, and when people actually give me feedback about, wow, they never thought of it that way before, and now they were motivated to do some things to help them, you know, help win with people and help the people around them feel connected. It's a good feeling when you see that happen.
Great, right. Yeah, I can imagine it is, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in this in our final segment, which is coming up right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of relationology, the secrets of winning with people. I'm Paul Mark. Joining me today by phone is Romel Anakin, who is a motivational speaker, a strategist, an entrepreneur, and he's the president of the Relationship Difference, an organizational development firm in Orange County, California. And Romel regularly consults with multifamily companies across the United States and has been working actively over the years in the multifamily industry before he started this venture back in 2011. Romel, before we took a break, we were talking about communication styles and so forth, but what about best practices? Once someone now has identified one of these languages that they speak and their communication styles, what types of things can they do to become better and to win with people?
And yeah, you know, first of all, you know, as we talked about before the break, Paul, you know, it's that self-awareness again to know, where do you tend to go? So if you're a hammer, if you're an avoider, if you're a pleaser, because that's going to give you a window as to, you know, what you might need to do or do more of or do less of. You know, so we want to start with that self-awareness. And then really what we do in terms of best practices, I will tell you, you know, we'll give you some specific strategies and then really some big picture principles. But the first one, for example, let's say you are interacting with a hammer, but you are not a hammer. What I would tell you with them, interacting with a hammer, the big thing is to make sure that you've got good boundaries. And it's okay to enforce the boundaries. And if you are a pleaser here, certainly I'm speaking to you directly. You know, so when you're interacting with a hammer, make sure you have boundaries. But it's okay to be assertive. It's okay to say, and assertive just is, hey, this is what I need, or this is what I want. You don't want to be aggressive, so you don't want to get in the hammer's face, because they're just going to get right back, you know, they're just going to give it right back to you. But assertive is okay. So again, when you know what, I tend to not be as assertive, this is your cue. Therefore, if, when I'm with this person who might blur the boundaries, I probably need to be more assertive. I've got to, you know, make sure that I respect their language and respect their strength, because it's a good thing. But again, I don't want to get bulldozed either if I'm not a hammer. So make sure you have boundaries. Make sure that you're assertive. It's okay to ask for what you need to. And it is okay to address this with people. And this is certainly if you're a leader out here and you realize that you've got someone on your team who maybe tends to hammer people. And Paul and I were talking, right? You know, that hammers tend to see like all of the world as a nail when you're a hammer. And so it's okay to tell someone, hey, Joe, so at our next meeting, I appreciate your feedback. However, what I need you to do is to allow space for other people to share, you know, something like that. So it's okay to address it when all of our relational styles cause damage or cause problems on the team. So the secrets of winning with people doesn't just mean we let people do whatever they want. It, again, is just an understanding of how we relate, how other people relate, and then trying to figure out how to bridge those differences. So if you are a hammer, use your strength wisely. You know, what I would tell you is that people know you're strong. People know you're a take-charge kind of person. And so allow room for other people to lead. Allow room for other people's voices to be heard. So for you, you might have to take your foot off the pedal a little bit to allow other people to rise up. If you're interacting with a pleaser, and you're not a pleaser, one of the things that you might have to do is remember that they're happiest when other people are happy with them. And so just want to keep that in mind. And that sometimes when you're dealing with a pleaser, they may not tell you the whole story. So you've got to look at the whole package. And so if you know someone's a pleaser and you're asking them for a pretty aggressive deadline, yeah, you might just need to do a little bit of digging to make sure they can meet the deadline. Because again, they may not want to disappoint you, so they may overpromise and underdeliver. You might need to be very direct with them, but with love and kindness. And so again, it's just finding that balance, because what I find with pleasers, and when I've worked with pleasers, and I've got a little bit of pleaser in me, is criticism can really, really hurt. Whereas a hammer, if you criticize the hammer, they're just going to look at you and go, you're being an idiot. I'm not wrong. But the pleaser, you know, that can really hurt. So even as you have to correct, and correcting is okay, just make sure you're doing that in ways that continue to value the relationship and help them feel like you care about them, even as you correct any kind of behavior or something that needs to be corrected. And if you are a pleaser here, you know, what I would recommend for you is that people want to hear your truth. And so it's okay to share, you know, it's okay to be honest. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to not make everyone happy. You know, oftentimes what I find with pleasers is they are exhausted trying to make other people happy. So if you're a pleaser here, bless you. Thank you so much for trying to keep the peace. And it's okay to tell someone you cannot make it for coffee tonight, you know, or after work. And if you are, best practice for dealing with an avoider, the first one is don't, you know, and for all the languages, don't shame people for the languages that they speak. Don't make them feel bad for it. And so for an avoider, if an avoider goes to the back table, don't shame them for it. But what I would encourage you to do is draw them in, invite them to sit at your table. And also, if they need their space, respect their space. And so it's this balance, again, of bringing people into the orbit and also respecting where they are. And understand, if an avoider needs that space, it's not a judgment on you necessarily. What I find is avoiders have a people tolerance level that might be a little bit lower than hammers and pleasers. And so they might get to a point where they need to recharge by being away from people. And if you are an avoider listening, you know, what I would tell you is people want to get to know you. So when you walk into that room, don't sit at the table with other people. Fight hard to engage. Don't just sit in the corner during that company networking event. If there's that resident that you see across the courtyard, go up to that resident within 6 feet of distance or whatever, obviously, you know, whatever you're listening to this. But you know, engage people. People want to get to know you. People want to know what you're thinking and feeling. And so make sure that you are engaging whenever and wherever you can. And then for those communication styles that we talked about, if you find you're a direct communicator, first of all, thank you so much for saying what you mean and meaning what you say. That's such a good thing. If you're an indirect communicator, I'll go to you. We could learn more from those direct communicators, right? So if you're an indirect communicator, it's important that you say what you mean and mean what you say, that other people have a hard time trying to read between the lines or read the body language. And so just practice on actually saying, you know, making your yes, yes, making your no, no. And then if you're a direct communicator, again, so thankful that you say what you mean and mean what you say. Here's the part that's for you. Don't say it mean. Okay, so say what you mean what you say, don't say it mean. I think if we did those things, we would really find that our level of relationship communication would help. And then lastly, the big thing, Paul, I think that the world is really lacking now, and all of this has tied in, is really empathy. That if we have the ability just to really go into someone else's world, you know, to listen to other people's experiences and other people's stories, whether we agree with them or not, whether we validate them or not, right, is not important. I think people we're so mad, we're frustrated, we're angry, everyone's yelling at each other in social media and everywhere else. And I think what we're lacking is that empathy, that we are different and that there are these different approaches, these different languages, these different ways, different perspectives. And those aren't bad things, you know? And so if we're just able to understand that and actually have empathy with each other and try to understand other people's stories and experiences, I think that would go such a long way towards actually helping us win with people.
Ramel, we've got about a minute left before I want to transition into another quick topic, but I'm fascinated by something that was in the notes you sent me, and I've got to ask you, and I'm doing this blindly because I have no idea where it will take us in 1 minute, but tell me, what does 99 Cent Store mean?
Oh, gosh. Okay, yeah. So, you know, this is about connection. And so basically this is a story I tell at the end of this talk and also some of my leadership talks, where my wife and my daughter were going into a grocery store and a 99 cent store, and they saw someone out there who was a young mom with a sign and needed some help. And basically what my wife and daughter felt was that they needed to connect with this young mom. And it wasn't enough for them just to leave a dollar or anything like that, but they wanted to connect. And so my wife looked at the mom and kind of went to her level, you know, kind of squatted down and just said, "What do you need?" And this mom tells her what she needs. And so my wife and daughter go to the grocery store and pick up some things, nothing fancy, just the essential. And they come out and they give her, you know, a couple of grocery bags worth of stuff. And then here's the powerful moment. Number one, you know, it wasn't just here's some money, but it was let's connect as humans. And this is a part of the story I love, is that my wife looked at this mom and, again, came on her level and just said, "Hey, I just want you to know you're loved. Like, people care. People see you. You are valued." And as she says, as everyone starts crying and the emotions are flowing. And here's what I love about the story, Paul, is other people saw this happening. So guess what other people did? By seeing this connection, this love, this empathy, this valuing others, other people went to this mom and said, "Well, what can we help you with?" And other people went into the store and brought out these basics, you know, and bought basics for this young family, which I thought was so powerful. And it just speaks again to the power of connection and the power, what happens when we choose every day to try to win with people and to love others. I think it's what the world needs now. And Burt Bacharach and Hal David are right. What the world needs now is love, you know?
Right. Exactly. That's a great story. Listen, I want to transition to something. I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know several things. You know, we have about 2.5 minutes left. How you got into multifamily. And then also what you're working on now, and how can someone reach you if they want to get in touch with you about working with them?
Fantastic. Well, I got into multifamily actually after my divorce that I mentioned at the start of this. I wanted a discount on an apartment. You know, I went from two incomes to one, and I just said, there it is. And I applied and I got in. I thought I'd be in the industry for a year tops. And as many of us in multifamily had been around for a long time, and it was through my experience actually in multifamily that I got the bug to want to speak and train because of some phenomenal people that I worked with who did that. And so I'm so grateful to the multifamily housing industry because I wouldn't be doing what I do today without the influence of these great people that mentored me along the way. But yeah, literally, Paul, I just wanted a discount on an apartment. That was my entire motivation to get involved in this industry. And it's just been, it's been an incredible ride. And so right now, you know, I'm working on some pretty exciting things. We've obviously with COVID and everything, we've had to move a lot of things virtually. So we're working on creating new virtual programs for people. I'm actually in the midst right now of creating some online courses that people can take. So again, we can, so that the education can continue even if in-person trainings are a little bit more restricted. But of course, depending on the jurisdiction I'm in, I've been able to do some in-person events as well. So basically just creating some phenomenal resources that individuals can access, that companies can access, because I really just want to help people be successful in multifamily and in whatever work that you are doing. And then, you know, how I work with companies today, again, it still continues to be whether it's through consulting, whether it's through giving talks, doing sessions, 3-hour sessions, 6-hour sessions, you know, 1-hour talks, in just whatever way that companies need education. We have a pretty comprehensive process before I work with the client to really find out what are their needs, what are the hot buttons, and what do we need to do to make sure that those objectives are met. So there's lots of different ways that people just go to my website, Paul, honestly, RommelAnakin.com, RommelAnakin.com. You can find me there. I'm also on Instagram, and my Facebook page is, you know, Relationship Difference, which is the name of my company. As you can tell, I'm passionate about this topic. And so a lot of different ways that people can reach out, you know, and we'd love to work together, with anyone, any of your listeners here, just to help people win with people. Again, I think winning with people is the heart of success. And if you win with people, that's the glue, and that's the key to almost everything that you want.
Fantastic. Well, Rommel, we're going to have you back again. You know, we just broke the surface on this topic, and I know there's more that you can help our listeners with. I do want to let our listeners know that if they go to our website at multifamilyradio.com, you will be able to, there will be a link to Rommel's website in case you didn't write it down. But please feel free to do that and contact him, because I know he can help you with your company, especially with what's going on in the world right now. Rommel, thanks again for being on. We are going to have to leave it there. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.